This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And Ciso.
Hello and welcome to Seaguy Social, Season 4, Episode 6. This is, of course, our first ever Europa League reaction video. And unfortunately, it didn't go to plan. It wasn't the fairy tale story that we all hoped for. Ben also cursed it in the last pod.
Yeah, it's
saying,
my fault.
AEK Athens who? Which came back to bite us in the arse.
Just a joke.
So cheers for that, Ben. Appreciate
that. Just a joke.
But yeah, I mean, look, it didn't work out how we'd like it to. However, it was an incredible day, an incredible experience just to see the, like, little things, just seeing, like, you know, the vests that they're wearing, like the ball boys, the Europa League, all the branding, the music, the atmosphere was incredible. Like, the whole day was sick. And yeah, it just didn't go to plan. But Ben, of course, you are here. Unfortunately, Ryan is at the Brighton presser, so he's not with us, but he will be giving us his views later on. Via voice
note. WhatsApp.
via WhatsApp. But yeah, Ben, just kick us off, mate, with regards to just the day itself. Let's start with that. The occasion itself. Let's start with that.
Yeah, the day was brilliant. I mean, even just working before the match, like the adrenaline I had every time I stood up, like my body was like tense. I was like, just wanted to scream. It was mad. Like a kid at Christmas. It was very weird. And then arriving at Brighton Station, you've got all like the banners and stuff like that. They really made Brighton Station look brilliant. Probably, yeah, blue and white flags everywhere and Brighton badges and stuff like that. And yeah, getting straight to the Grand Central, saw Jack Albion there and all my lot. It was great. And yeah, the atmosphere was class. And
yeah,
I think just the whole day was just such an unbelievable experience, which outweighs the result. I think if it was just like another game, I'd probably be a bit more disappointed. But the experience and, yeah, just the whole day, I think, outweighs the result, which is why I'm not too upset with it.
Yeah. No, mate, I 100% agree. I think the whole day is a whole lot. I ended up getting down there a bit early. Oh, as in like 4:30. Went to the Brighton shop in Churchill Square. My mate G had to sort out his top. The Europa League badge had fallen off, so he had to go get that reprinted. And then we came to the stadium like quite early, actually. It was mad busy. I think we got there about sort of 6:30. No, that's way too early. Sorry, 6:30 maybe, roughly. So yeah, we sort of soaked it all in. It was like, yeah, just a very busy, it was good atmosphere. And it was, yeah, it felt like a really good feeling around the club. And yeah, the pre-match atmosphere was great. And then unfortunately, things, yeah, didn't get off to the best start. And then you were like thinking, well, what's going on? But no, just to sum up, like, just, I think it's mad. I think we have to take a step back and always remember that just being in the Europa League, I think, is an achievement in itself. Albeit we lost against arguably what on paper the weakest side in the group. However, in saying that, we can't forget they're no mugs. They won the double last season. As I said in the preview, they won the double last season. They played in Champions League football pretty much for the last sort of 5-6 years. So like they are a European caliber side. It's not like we've just lost to like, I don't know, a Serbian minnow who's just come into the Europa League for the first time. Like, I think we do have to remember that. And yeah, I think we sometimes have to just not get too ahead of ourselves and get too cocky about the situation we're in. I think that's something I personally do sometimes. And I know we do as a podcast, we do sometimes get a bit ahead of ourselves and think we should be winning every game. And it's a given, right? But I think it was a bit of a humbling experience yesterday. I think we needed it. And one thing I will say as well, De Zerbi always learns from when we get humbled. Like, we've always seen a reaction. Everton, boom, beat Arsenal.
Bournemouth, get ready to hold seven.
Yeah. West Ham, then we go on to beat Newcastle. Like, there's always a reaction, usually speaking, to a defeat, which is quite big. So, I'm quite hopeful. But, yeah, let's start off with the game then, Ben.
The game seemed cursed, like, from the beginning, because in the morning we found out, I think it was the night before actually, there was rumours that Dunk was going to be unavailable.
True.
And that really ruined the whole story of him being at Withdean, then leading us out for our first ever game. That didn't sit right with me.
Changed, yeah.
And Mike King said it brilliantly. He was like, I think if you ever think life is, this is like a perfect example of life not being fair, because that would have been the perfect moment. And yeah, that was pretty spot on. Like, Dunkey being injured for that game, it was just, yeah, that's pretty heartbreaking to hear.
And losing Ferguson to illness as well, because he was meant to be part of the squad, wasn't he? And then it came out that he was taken ill and had to leave. So, two sort of big misses, I suppose. But in saying that, we did rotate heavily against Newcastle. Against Man United. We rotated heavily and we still got a good result. So we can't really blame it on like heavy rotation, because it seems like our squad depth is good enough to handle most sides at the moment. Clearly not yesterday. We were just, I think the low block killed us. But we'll get on to the finer details of the game. But yeah, let's start off with that, Ben. Let's start off with the first goal, to be fair, and what a goal it was, to be honest. Right. What a header. And I think Matoma's gonna pop up a few times today, personally speaking.
Yes.
He left his man. He didn't really mark Sidibe at all. Great cross from Haj Safi, the Iranian left back. He got two assists, to be fair to him. He was the danger from set pieces. Yeah, he's a set piece taker. And obviously got two assists. And the first one, yeah, Sidibe, brilliant header.
That header,
you can't
God.
Take away anything away from it, can you?
When's he ever going to do that again in his career, by the way? Had to be against us, for fuck's sake. I was just like, we spoke about him before in the previews. Like, I think he was on, maybe was he on loan at Everton? He's definitely not loan at a Premier League team. I thought it was Chelsea, but maybe
he was at Monaco.
He did play in the Prem for a little bit. I think like literally for like 6 months. I'm pretty sure he did loan there. I might be wrong. It's just typical that it was him. And it was an unbelievable header. Like, so good. But I kind of saw it coming. I was like, they're scoring from this corner. I'm not even saying that for the sake of it. I just saw it come. But their fans also were just unbelievable. During the match, I would just find myself just watching them.
Mate,
they were
honestly,
so good. So singing in unison, dancing in unison, doing these hand gestures in unison. It looked like an orchestra. Although they did have like one guy at the front that kind of leads it. That's probably why they do it.
So yesterday we were in WA. So usually we're in like the completely opposite side, near to the away from the away fans. So this time we were literally right by the away fans. And I don't know if you noticed, there was a pocket to the right of us, like top in the top. There was a pocket of fans. And what they were doing, you know, like how we, like back in the day, we used to have on the left, with the left side, with the left side, with the left side, Brighton boys. Yeah. And then they were basically doing that, but in Greek, it was mad. Like they had like a little pocket corner in the top, and then they were like chanting at each other.
They also had like a Will Griggs song. You know, the Will Griggs on fire. They had that in their own language. Yeah. That's so funny.
That was so good. No, like massive props and credit to the away fans. They were incredible. Like, I don't remember, apart from half time, there wasn't a moment where they weren't singing or where they weren't making noise. Massive, massive props to the Greek away fans. But going back to the first goal, I thought it was poor from set piece. Matoma obviously left his man. And it was an incredible header, to be fair. I think it was one of those sort of unsavable goals. But then going on to the equaliser, of course, João Pedro, first penalty. Now, we've got to talk about the referee, Ben, I think,
We had bad referees in England, but Jesus Christ, every big decision was just, it got wrong. And I'm so glad we had VAR, otherwise that would have been even more of an embarrassing result. It would have been 3-0.
This is the thing, he got bailed out twice by VAR. Mm. And then there was that big, I don't know if you remember it, with the Lamptey, when Lamptey came on and he got absolutely taken out.
Absolutely clarted.
Yeah.
Nothing.
And it was not given. And it's just like, like you said, the basic stuff, he just wasn't getting right. And it was really poor, I thought.
Amrabat must have done about 7 fouls. Yeah. I don't think he got booked once. Or maybe he did and we all cheered. But, oh my God, the amount of times it took him a long time before he finally booked some of the players. It was very early on where one of the players absolutely clarted us. I think it was like opening like 5 minutes or so. And then one of the people sat behind me was like, oh, welcome to Europe. Like, that's the sound. It's going to be very dirty. And they just didn't give anything. I don't even think it was a foul. And I just, after that, I just, kind of pissed me off.
Well, I mean, AEK finished on 8 yellow cards. We finished, including De Zerbi, we finished on 5 yellow cards. So 13 yellows were brandished yesterday, which, you can tell it was one of those games where they were very physical. Like I said earlier, they played in a low block. To be fair, they came with a game plan and they done it to a T. So, I mean, look, we've got to give credit to AEK. They came with a game plan. They took it out to a T. And do you know what? Before we get onto the equaliser, the penalty itself, because we all know it was a stonewall, let's be real, as we all saw in the replays. Before we get onto that, I just wanted to ask you, because I thought with everyone was sort of focusing on defensively and I'll be honest, I think defensively we were poor. I thought Igor and Van Hekker weren't at their best, especially Igor, I think, struggled. And I know it was his first game and all that.
I thought he was all right. I
think he was great, to be honest.
All right.
I just thought defensively we were poor, to be honest.
Yeah.
We lacked, obviously, Dunkey missing was huge. We lacked that leadership. We lacked that, just someone that of a sort of calming, cool presence. And especially at set pieces, I think he would have maybe had us a bit more organised as we conceded from set pieces twice.
I saw our set piece coach getting stick on Twitter.
Yeah,
being like something like getting paid to do nothing or something like that.
my point was, actually defensively, I don't think it was our downfall. I think it was actually going forward. I thought we really lacked like that cutting edge. Like was it that last 10-15 minutes was the most frustrating thing because we just didn't. We weren't taking shots. We weren't pumping the ball into the box. It was like we're just passing it around the back, and I was like. Yeah. We've got 10 minutes, we're 3-2 down with 10 minutes to go.
The ball dropped to Fatty, didn't it? With like 10 minutes to go. Everyone's going, shoot! And then he tried to take another touch and then got tackled or ran into the tackle.
Yeah, that extra touch was killing us every time.
It's constant. Trying to walk the ball.
Ben, what do you think? Did you think it was down to the defensive side of us or down to the attacking end? Like, personally speaking, I think it was actually down to our lack of threat going forward and not being able to cut through AEK Athens.
It was a mix of both. For me, because I don't think Igor didn't play too bad considering, like the ball kept going to him as if he was Lewis Dunk, which is obviously how we play. And I'm going to use orchestrator again, but he was kind of playing that role that Dunkey plays. And obviously, the team's relying on this new person that's just come into the team, his first competitive start. That was odd. And then up top, I mean, João Pedro at the penalty spot is brilliant. He's really composed. Can't take anything away from that, but. Loads of people getting frustrated with him, especially in the first half. He kept doing like all these flicks and just never paying off. Just always losing the ball a lot. And I felt like, I feel like we were a bit naive in that respect. Like maybe we didn't treat Athens with a bit of respect, maybe going forward and like that. Just nothing was really clicking. Kept doing these flicks losing the ball a lot, gave the ball away a lot.
I'm happy you brought up the flicks actually, because me and my mate who went with, that's one of the things we actually really picked up on. Like, it was especially towards the second half as well, when we really needed to penetrate. I think when we went 3-2 down, we were still doing things. I remember Welbeck at one point where the ball comes to his feet. Instead of just taking a touch and, using his body, he does so well usually, he tries to do a flick first time. And I think he gave the ball away. And I was just like, why are we doing that? Why are we doing these little intricate little flicks and tricks when really, let's just start popping it. Let's do what we do well and try and actually cut through the defence rather than going side to side. And it was just all round frustrating, really, I think, most parts of the game. Because as soon as we went 2-0, I thought, do you know what? We can go on to win this. And then it just seemed to change. And obviously, they got their third. And then
that third goal, my God. It was like something you concede on FIFA.
Yeah.
Lamptey getting taken out. The ball, that assist went through Van Hek's legs, like just perfectly. And then obviously, he shoots. Jason still saves it and then deflects off the striker again and goes in. It's like it's something you see on a video game.
It was so lucky. It was, let's be, okay, all biases aside, it was a lucky goal. Come on. Like in terms of the actual finish.
Not being a poor fan, but even their second one, I don't think the guy who scored it had any idea what he's doing. He was just kind of like sliding in and then it suddenly came and went in the net. I think their first goal was great. I'm not going to take anything away from them. You could say Matoma should have marked him. But then the other two were just so embarrassing to concede.
No, agreed.
Really, really, really poor goal.
Let's talk about the second one because we've covered the third one now. Let's talk about the second one because, another set piece, another Hadji Safi corner, a free kick this time.
This is your only dub from the game, isn't it? That Iranian got two assists.
I've got to take. Honestly, I was so pissed off after the game. Like, for a good half hour after, I was just fuming.
Could have been interviewing Thierry Henry, but he came towards the Albion.
Just want to put it out there, guys, everyone listening and watching. I could have interviewed Thierry Henry and Hoodman Son. Oh. I decided to watch Brighton of Albion in Europe for the first time. But generally, hand on heart, I wouldn't change it for the world. I would never have missed. I actually wouldn't have missed that experience.
I don't think I tell you. Connor then asked me. He was like, "What are you doing Thursday, Ben? Do you want to interview Thierry Henry?"
Really?
I was like, "Oh, for God's sake, yeah."
God's sake.
Because he was like, "Maz's going to the game." I was like, "Well, obviously, I'm going to the game."
Just shows you guys the commitment we give to this
commitment. Yeah,
the commitment to Brighton of Albion first of all, and second of all, for this podcast. But the second goal, it was a great cross. But then, defensively, it was poor, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was poor. It's just that head in hands every single time that those kind of goals went in. And again, their fans just went absolutely mental. I wouldn't have wanted to be sitting in the South Stand or the East Stand in between them because they looked like they were giving it.
But, oh, mate.
That was pure chaos.
Yeah, it was poor. It was poor from our perspective. And again, we went down 2-1. And it was always like every time we were chasing the game, weren't we? It was never a point where we were in control. And I think that's what really killed us. Usually speaking, we are in control. Obviously, possession-wise, I think we ended up 75% to 25% possession. But again, even though we had the possession, I didn't really feel like, oh, yeah, we're going to score now.
We didn't look threatening with it. And it seemed like it was very similar to the West Ham game. And then when we were doing the review of the West Ham game, we were saying it was very similar to the Everton game last season. And those games are pretty, they all seem pretty similar, which I guess is that a worrying thing now? Because we said that the Everton one was a freak game, and we said the West Ham one's a freak game that's only happened once a season, but now it seems to have happened again already in a matter of weeks.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
No, mate, 100%. I think you've got a question. Yeah, is that a consistency thing? Is that form thing? A lot of rotation as well, Europe coming into play. I think we're going to have to expect not to win every game. We can't win every game. Like, that's just never going to happen.
What?
And I think that, like I said, going back to what we said earlier about like this expectancy, I think we're getting to a stage now as a fan base where we're sort of getting a little bit cocky, not overtly, but we are getting a little bit like, oh yeah, because we play such good football and we get some good results. Oh yeah, we should be beating every team. But no, like as we saw yesterday, any team that plays a low block against us, we struggle with. We really do struggle with. And I think that's one thing I think Deserby needs to figure out and work out is like, right, in those situations where a team doesn't come to play football, or that comes across disrespectful, but like they come to with like a low block, defensively sort of very sound and, you know, will hit us on the counter. How do we counteract that? How do we go against that? Because I think at the moment, we don't have an answer, especially based off yesterday. I just felt like every time we went forward, nothing. And let's talk about Matoma as well, because I think he did go missing a lot yesterday. And of course, he was at fault for the first goal. He wasn't his usual self, unfortunately. And I think that really showed. I don't know what you thought about. Why do you think that was? I don't know. I can't really put my finger on as to why he didn't really get involved. He wasn't really on the ball much. And when he was on the ball, he didn't really impact the game as we know as well as he can do.
Yeah. No, he did go missing. It was pretty frustrating. Like when your best players aren't playing well, then you know you're going to have a shit day. But I don't really know too much of why he was. It was just a poor game. I don't think he was getting like man marked specifically. Maybe I didn't see that or missed it. But the difference between him and Adingra, when Adingra came on, he was brilliant. And yeah, that's the level that we have been used to at left wing, whether it be Matoma or Adingra. And Adingra was class. So I just hope that Matoma's not going to go through a rough patch now. I guess it's only one game at the end of the day.
Yeah,
and you could argue a lot of the Brighton players didn't really have their best days. But when you don't have your best day, you hope that your best players will take you out of it or drag you out of it. But yeah, Matoma unfortunately didn't do that. And I'd like to think Evan Ferguson probably would have started that game up front instead of João Pedro. I feel like that, because João Pedro, it just did not work, other than penalties, obviously. It didn't work. He wasn't like, people around me were always getting really frustrated because our strikers usually drop deep to collect the ball from the midfielders or the centre-backs, but he was never really doing it. And especially when we had the ball from like goal kicks or playing at the back, he was never doing that dropping deep thing. I think he'd done it twice, maybe.
Would you rather have him at the 10?
Maybe at the 10 or on the wing, yeah. But I guess just for the opposition, he didn't work as a number 9 for me. I think Evan Ferguson or Welbeck would have done a much better job.
What do you think of Ansu Fati? Because obviously, first start for Brighton, I thought he didn't do anything wrong. But I just don't think he sort of really showed what he's all about, I didn't think. I mean, he had a few good touches here and there. And again, like you said, overall team performance wasn't great, so you're not really going to be able
think
to...
I don't think that helped.
No, of course.
He had a shot in the first half that was saved, I think. Yeah, it was saved or it just went wide. I think people got quite frustrated that part that I mentioned earlier where he had the ball, he had the opportunity to shoot literally on the edge of the box or just inside the box and decided to run into a tackle instead. He didn't play too bad, but I guess when the whole team weren't playing great, it was tough to judge him on that.
No, 100%. But do you think, based off that performance, did you see glimpses of why he was he was an incredible talent and sort of up and coming at Barca? Could you see that from yesterday's performance?
Not massively. I think there were maybe a couple of glimpses, but I wouldn't say there were huge glimpses of the class. I'm sure he's going to come good. And again, it's literally bitten. He had 20 minutes against United and then also, 90 minutes. Poor 90 minutes.
But it also comes down to where does he fit in then? If we want João Pedro at 10 and Ferguson up top, where does Ansu Fati go? Because obviously, you've got Matoma and Adingra on the left, then you've got Solly March on the right. Where does Ansu Fati fit in?
Solly was getting stick again, as per on Twitter. Some Brighton fans on Twitter don't really like Solly March, yeah. I don't know if they do it as a joke, but...
I thought he was all right.
I didn't think he was too bad.
I think he was probably arguably our most influential player in the sense of how much of the ball he had and how much of the ball he saw. There was times where he was a bit frustrating. I think he loves that little cut in and out thing he does. He does that. I think sometimes his decision making needs to just improve a little bit. But as we've seen in the last sort of 6 to 12 months, his output's got so much better. So we can't really what more do you want from the guy? Do you know what I mean? Again, he's not going to drop a 10 out of 10 every game. And there's going to be times where the whole team struggled and he also was part of that team. And I think you can't really sort of point him out. I think it's a bit
harsh. I will say, though, I cannot stand Milner at right back. He's just not the one. Especially when, obviously, any winger you come up against, 9 times out of 10, is going to be fast. And he was getting caught out a lot, I feel, yesterday. You're always going to come up against a pacey winger. That's just when we get opened up. When they countered, they counter-attack for their third one. They just caught us on the break a lot. And they had a few chances where they were catching us and we're thinking, God, they're going to score again. It could have been 5-0 at one point or 5-1 at one point. Milner, I thought he was going to get taken off us in the second half, but obviously got injured very early on in the second half. Don't wish injuries upon anyone, but it was a bit of a blessing in disguise because I thought Lamptey done quite well.
But even Lamptey was getting a bit of criticism I saw as well. Matt,
was he?
I feel like our fan base is like anyone who's,
I can't have Milner at right back. Veltman or Lamptey, because Milner just gets caught out too much.
Yeah.
I mean, the bloke's 38 years old. He's solid as well. He's really good doing his midfielding duties. Don't get me wrong. When he's passing the ball, I think he had a good opportunity early in the first half as well. He's good at that. He's just not a right back for me anymore.
I agree. I think we said it after the Luton game. He had a solid game against Luton, but respectfully, that was Luton. And also,
West Ham was very poor, wasn't it, when he was at right back?
Again, very
similar game where we kept getting caught out. He's not the player that you want to be doing that. No, when the team sits back against you, you need to be ready for them to counter. And when you've got someone with 30 pace on FIFA, it's the worst. I'm joking. When you've got someone slow like that defending, it's curtains.
Yeah. All right. I know because obviously time as well. So just quickly before we sort of wrap up the game,
we also need to play Ryan's team as well.
Yeah, we need to play that as well. So just quickly, two chances that sort of I think were big ones. We've got to talk about quickly. Adingra's shot. The keeper made a cracking save. To be fair. Stankovic made a cracking save from Adingra from the left. And I thought that was, yeah, really good play, cut in and a really good shot. And yeah, really top save from the keeper. And then João Pedro, one-on-one, great through ball, to be fair. Oh, I think was it Van Hekker, I think it was, with a fantastic through ball. Whoever it was, I can't remember who it was now. But it was a fantastic through ball, an incredible touch from João Pedro. And then from a tight angle, I personally think it was a tough angle to score from, but I saw a lot of people like around me were like, oh, he should be doing better there. He should be scoring.
I feel like he should have done better. Maybe it was a better angle, but yeah, I feel like he should have done better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, let us know in the comments or whoever's watching, let us know whether you think João Pedro should have scored. But yeah, me personally, I think it was a tough chance. But yeah, overall, just to sum up the game, frustrating evening. I think AEK Athens, credit to them. They came and they had a game plan.
They conquered. I think.
Exactly. In Greek style, in Greek fashion. Mm. Big credit to their fans as well. They made incredible noise.
So good.
But yeah, I think just everyone take a quick, pause and just remember where we are, who we are, where we've come from. Just enjoy it. Let's enjoy it. I know I was very frustrated by the result yesterday, but we still got another five games to go. And we usually play better against the more expansive teams. So the Ajaxes, the Marseilles. Mm-hmm. We should.
Who both drew, by the way. So that was a bit of a plus.
100%.
Neither of them won.
Yeah. And then final thing, before I let you do the voice note, Ben, I just want to quickly say, I've noticed, a lot of people are getting lots of messages last night from rival fans saying, oh, Brighton lost, blah, 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 like, you're too big time, blah, blah. I just want to say one thing, right? It's funny how we're usually people's second favourite team, or we get plaudits for being such a great footballing side. And then as soon as we either beat their side at the top six, or we get too close to, change the equilibrium of the table and all these big clubs, that's when they seem to be like, oh, yeah, let's bring them. You need humbling. And it's like, I don't get that sort of mentality. It was like, we as fans don't usually sit here and go, we're the best. I know there's sometimes where we might do that. But I don't get this whole narrative of like, we need humbling. You need to know your place. And all this stuff.
This is coming from Chelsea fans and Man United. Well, Chelsea fans who aren't in Europe, by the way. So they're saying, we need humbling. They finished 12th last year, didn't they? Are they not playing in Europe this year?
Nope.
No, they're not.
Neither are Spurs. And then, I was having some Man United
fans.
Yeah, Man United fans were coming at me after we beat them at Old Trafford, by the way. Look.
It's just funny how we're under their skin, though, is it? It's just funny. Brighton, yeah.
But this is the thing. Like, everyone's all like, oh, yeah, they're great. Love what Brighton are doing. Hope you finish top four. Yeah, but don't do too well, because then otherwise we're going to hate on you and we're going to say all this shit. But yeah, there you go. It's just funny how that works, isn't it? But Ryan wants to give his quick thoughts on the game. So Ben, without further ado.
Yeah, so he was at the presser and couldn't do it. This is the only time we could do it. Right, so this is Ryan.
This is my thoughts on Athens. I'm very surprised with how they played. If I'm honest, they took me by surprise. But at the same time, I think it's actually a good thing. And I think I'm going to sound like a psychopath here, but I feel like whenever Roberto De Zerbi early on has a bit of a hit back, we saw last year in the Carabao Cup against Charlton. Look at the FA Cup run we had. Got all the way to the semi-finals and played very well, knocked out Liverpool. Roberto De Zerbi didn't drop the subject of Charlton for, about 6 months? So the way I look at it is that it's a nice time to take a hit like that. So I think I'm quite confident going into the rest of it, because if a team plays and expands against us like Marseille could, like Ajax could, I have a little bit more sort of confidence towards it. So I want to just put my sort of opinion in so that you can put it on the podcast. Hopefully that's covers everything. Just to say as well, I mean, look, end of the day, there's worse situations that we've been in to complain about, do you know what I mean? So yes, we were wet. Yes, it was but it was a historic day, historic night, going to watch Brighton in the Europa League. Heads up, boys, because we've got more to come. 5 more games left, 15 points to play for. I think we're going to be all right.
Bash.
Mate, look at that.
Yeah.
I hadn't even listened
to that.
We summed
that up perfectly, yeah.
He's actually pretty much summarised the whole podcast in a minute. So, I hadn't actually listened to that voice note. But, he's bang on. I agree with everything that's been said. I think, just enjoy it. We still got five games to go. And as I said right at the beginning, De Zerbi usually gets a big reaction from his players after a big defeat. And so, yeah, we're going to do a Bournemouth preview ahead of that game at some point.
I don't know if we are, because
maybe not.
Maybe not.
I don't have the time.
Yeah. But we'll do a quick 30-second preview. We'll hopefully win and bounce back. That's my preview.
There you go. Okay, cool. Yeah, hopefully we see a reaction. Oh, and on that, actually, De Zerbi did come out in his press conference today saying that there's going to be lots of changes, he said, apparently. He's going to do a big rotation. So we're going to look like we're going to see another 11 on Sunday. I think Ferguson's going to potentially make his way back. But
Dingra to start for Mitoma, that would be nice, I think.
Yeah, there's a few doubts, actually. I think Milner's a doubt after getting coming off injured. Yeah. Quickly, let me just quickly get Naylor's tweet. He tweeted about it earlier. Where is it? So, yeah, Milner, Pascal Gross, muscular problem. Also not clear cut on Dunk and Ferguson. Jeez. So there's a few late calls there. So that'll be interesting to see what kind of team we put out. But yeah, fingers crossed we bounce back against Bournemouth and we can get a good result. Quickly, Ben, score prediction for Bournemouth?
At home, I'm going to say 2-0.
Nice. I'm going to go, just so no backfiring, I'm going to go 1-0 Brighton, just to be very...
I feel like they're going to score, actually. Dominic Solanke, probably.
2-1.
We've been very leaky. Yeah, maybe 2-1. I want to say, before we wrap up, at half-time yesterday, Maz, probably one of the nicest things someone's ever said to me in my life, came up to me and was like, an older gentleman as well, probably like 50 years old, maybe, something like that. But yeah, he came up to me. He was like, "Oh, look, I just want to say what you, Maz, and Ryan do is like one of the few things I get to look forward to in life and that sort of thing." Said that he's been going through a really rough time this year and that sort of stuff. And yeah, he looks forward to our podcast every week, and that's like the thing that kind of brightens up his week.
Oh, so, nice.
Yeah, gave him a big hug as well, and yeah, absolute top bloke. Yeah,
it's so really sweet. Nice. Oh, yeah. Big shout to him. And also, yeah, just on that note, actually, I got a lot of love. Got three or four people coming up asking for selfies. And then, we had some fan as well next to us. And he was like, really love your podcast. Keep going with it. And honestly, it's so nice to see the love being shown by everyone.
Yeah, it's nice.
I really appreciate everyone's support. On that note, thank you so much for everyone tuning in. If you're watching, if you're listening, please do like, comment and subscribe on YouTube. And of course, give us a 5-star review and all that jazz if you're listening on Spotify and Apple. And we will show you back after the Bournemouth game.
Bournemouth.
Bournemouth.
Peace.
Peace.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport, powered by fans.